In my experience, everyone will say they want to discover the truth, right up until they realize that the truth will rob them of their deepest held ideas, beliefs, hopes, and dreams. The freedom of enlightenment means much more than the experience of love and peace. It means discovering a truth that will turn your view of self and life upside down. For one who is truly ready, this will be unimaginably liberating. But for one who is still clinging in any way, this will be extremely challenging indeed. How does one know if they are ready? One is ready when they are willing to be absolutely consumed, when they are willing to be fuel for a fire without end. And this week's opening quote comes from Adya Shanti. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. Well, folks, in view of recent events, I hardly even know what to say to anybody this week. I hardly even know where to begin the show. Enlightenment is certainly a destructive process, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm sorry to have been the one to drop the bomb which rocked the independent media to its foundations, but sometimes these things just have to be done. And my apologies to anybody who has been offended or had their lives in any way disrupted by recent events, but unfortunately that's just the way it goes. And for all those who have spent time making videos condemning me for my show of any emotion during this period, well, I suggest that you people should perhaps get a life and not be so quick to condemn someone simply because they are a human being with emotions, because there really has been some incredibly toxic videos put out there by people who claim to be an authority on things that they really know nothing about. But enough on that topic anyway. Looking at the world in the last few weeks, folks, things have most certainly continued on their spiraling path downwards, although again it does provide a plethora of opportunity for humankind to actually wake up to themselves and do something about it. And it's getting to the point where I think people are just going to have to do that, because the control grid and the fact that the world is run by a bunch of lying criminals is so much in everybody's face now that it's becoming impossible for even the most closed-minded of individuals to deny that fact. And that's a very good thing, again, because it provides opportunity for mankind to actually wake up to themselves and stand up and do something about this situation. And there are a good many things to be able to get involved with now, folks. There's a lot of things happening on the ground. The protest that's happening with the Dakota people are protesting against the oil pipeline, which is being put through their land, which is effectively going to pollute groundwater. That's something everybody in the United States should be supporting. You need to go there and stand with these people, or at least write to your senators, write to your congressmen. Just let people know that you are standing with the Dakota people in the stand they are making to protect your water, ladies and gentlemen. There's that. There's the fracking campaigns that are happening in the UK. Ian Crane has been launching fracking campaigns and anti-fracking movements. There's a lot of stuff on the ground there to get involved with to protect the groundwater in that country. There's the actions and the inquiries that are being mounted and the investigations that are being sought into the Australian government for its treatment of children on Nauru, and also many anti-fracking campaigns that are happening in Australia. And there are plenty of opportunities to make your voices heard, folks. Benjamin Netanyahu is visiting Australia soon, so I hear. He's been invited there by that completely mindless parasite, Julie Bishop, who seems to like to support international war criminals and invite them into our home. And it's a very, very sad day for Australia, folks, to see our foreign minister and our prime minister will be rubbing shoulders with an international war criminal, someone who is responsible for massive war crimes and acts of genocide against the Palestinian people, someone who routinely allows the arrest and torture of children and all the things they do against these people. Israel actually kidnapped 30 Palestinian boys just in the month of August 2016 alone. What do they do with all these children? Well, they kind of disappear into a black hole, folks. Don't forget that Israel is also the largest trafficker of human organs in the world. One would question where they get all of these organs from, and perhaps see how well the organ sales figures correlate with the amount of missing Palestinians that Israel is responsible for. It really does do atrocious things to these people, folks. Just the other day, it was shooting Palestinian farmers and kidnapping fishermen off the coast. The water situation in Gaza is now so bad that Palestinians in Gaza are being forced to drink sewage. And that's really the situation that Israel supports, and the situation that is funded, of course, with US tax dollars and foreign aid, and is welcomed with open arms by Malcolm Turnbull and the Australian Foreign Minister, folks, and all of the stuff they're doing, folks. Israel is now claiming it's going to bulldoze homes in Syria, in the Golan Heights, and it's going to annex that the way it's doing with the West Bank, folks. We've got Palestine 2.0 happening in the Golan Heights. Flagrant violation of international law, but again, doesn't matter to the Australian Foreign Minister, who can't see that Benjamin Netanyahu or Israel itself has really committed any crime, because Julia Bishop has absolutely no regard for human rights and has absolutely no knowledge of international law and complete and utter contempt for humanity. Well, this is what would be assumed by a rational analysis of her actions anyway. And of course, the same can be said for the Australian Prime Minister, Malcolm Turnbull, who seems to be very happy to invite this war criminal to Australia, when really what he should be doing is arresting him as soon as he set foot on Australian soil. Well, that's what he would be doing if he had any respect for international law and human rights anyway. But by looking at the Australian government's track record, the way it treats the Aboriginal people, the way it treats refugees, the way it allows torture of children in Nauru, it's just ridiculous to think that the Australian government would give any consideration to human rights, and it really shouldn't be a surprise to anybody that someone like Malcolm Turnbull would be welcoming a war criminal like Benjamin Netanyahu onto Australian soil. You know, how anybody could possibly welcome such a criminal with open arms is really beyond all belief, folks. It really is. You know, the situation in Palestine that this man, Benjamin Netanyahu, has created and has allowed to be perpetuated is absolutely disgraceful. It really is. And there's very little that the people in Palestine can do about it. I mean, they can't even get out of the country, folks. Incidentally, on the border now, the Rafah crossing, there are Palestinians there that have been waiting to get across the border for months upon months. And now, even if you've got a permit to access the border and to get across the crossing, people are being forced to pay bribes of up to $10,000 to Egyptian guards in order to be able to make the passage. And this is absolutely disgraceful, folks. Of course, Hamas is supporting this because Hamas is just as corrupt as everybody else. Hamas does not support the people of Gaza. Hamas, really, if anybody, supports Israel, because it seems to support Israel with its every action. It certainly doesn't do anything to free the people of Gaza. And every time it fires one of those ridiculous little Qassam rockets over the wall, all it does is provide an excuse for another bombardment of the people of Gaza by the forces of Israel. And it doesn't do anything to make sure the border is open. It doesn't do anything to make sure the people of Gaza are looked after. So the only voice that the people of Gaza and the people of Palestine really have is the voice of those people out here in the world who are awake and are aware of the situation and are willing to put themselves out there to speak out about this atrocity and realize the opportunity it provides for all of mankind to be able to heal the situation that we're currently in. Because the situation in Palestine provides a key, folks, as I've said so many times, it provides an opportunity that we can use to arrest all the politicians in the Western world, because every single one of them who is supporting the rogue state of Israel can be identified as a war criminal under international law and can therefore be removed from office, and all the legislation that they write can be rolled back straight away. And that would do wonderful things for mankind. It really would. And even if there's no chance of that happening, folks, because the legal system is so corrupt that it won't allow these people to be arrested, well then, at least it has exposed the legal system as being as corrupt as what it is to the majority of people in the world. And we're going to make a difference either way, so something has to be done, and I think Palestine provides a key that we could use to do it. In fact, it does provide a key. It isn't a matter of thinking that it does. It actually does provide a legal key that can be used to either fix the situation or at least expose the completely convoluted nature of this farcical legal system that everybody believes they are subject to. Because if it isn't applied evenly, folks, if it isn't applied to everybody, then there simply is no law. And Palestine is really a key that we can use to expose that fact. And people may wonder why I give politicians such an incredibly difficult time on my radio shows. But, folks, I do it because all of the problems that we face in the world can be attributed to legislation that is put in place by politicians. That's simply the way it is. Any corporate destruction, any problem that you're facing in your community that is a result of a corporation or a result of legislation which prevents you from doing things is a direct result of the actions of government, and therefore a direct result of the whim of politicians. And that's why I give them such a difficult time, folks, because really it is the rules that these people make which have created the situation that mankind now faces. All the corporate destruction, all the environmental destruction, all the wars, all of the difficulty that humankind currently faces is a direct result of legislation put in place by politicians and of their inbuilt need to support the economic system over everything else. And the reason I point this out to people all the time and the reason I do the shows is because it's going to continue this way until mankind actually grows a pair and stands up and calls things out for what they truly are and presumes to reclaim their power, because really that's what we need to do. We need to realize that it's just people. And I keep saying this, I've said it on so many shows, that all we are dealing with here is people. And as soon as mankind can put down all their stuff with each other and simply stand up and call it, then we can change things. But until we do that, it's just not going to work. But of course, it's very difficult to do that now, especially with this so-called truth movement or so-called freedom movement or whatever it is, because there is such a conspiratorial mindset that has been injected into people that most people out there in the so-called truth movement now view almost everything as a conspiracy, and that is very unfortunate. Now, there used to be a time, folks, when conspiracy theorists were quite intelligent people. I mean, I've been a conspiracy theorist my whole life, but now there is a conspiratorial mindset whereby so many people out there who call themselves researchers quite literally view everything as a conspiracy. All they need is a photograph to create a grand conspiracy. All they need is the most flimsy of evidence to concoct the most elaborate of conspiracies. And it's got to the point where nobody really knows what to believe anymore. Nobody knows who to believe anymore. And people are so busy with their heads down rabbit holes trying to figure out what's really going on that they're simply not paying any attention at all to what's actually happening around them. And therefore, they are missing the opportunities that what is happening around them provides to them for effective change. Because if people were to stand up and simply call things out right now, we could bring about some effective change. The problem is that people are looking for the right guru to lead them, when really there are no leaders, ladies and gentlemen. It's up to each individual to lead themselves. And that's the problem that we've faced in this whole movement right from the beginning, is that too many people have been looking for someone to provide them the right information whereby they can get the newsletter that tells them the world has been saved now. And too many people are willing to do that. And by doing that, they're giving their power away to whatever truth guru they choose to follow. And it's the same as giving their power away to government. They're still waiting for someone else to look after them when really they need to be taking care of things themselves. So it's up to people to get the information that they need to understand what the world is, but then to apply it to the world themselves. And really, it's got to start with communication with the people around you so that we can stand up with a united voice for change. And folks, we don't need to join any movements or create any type of figurehead to lead us in this charge. We simply need to take it upon ourselves to call things out and to be a shining light in our community and respect those around us so that we can all stand together with a common focus, which is dealing with the corruption that is currently running this world into the ground and which is controlling all of human life. And it is. It's a corrupt system, folks, and the people that are operating within it are all corrupt. Of course they are. If they weren't, then it wouldn't be as corrupt as it is. So, you know, we've got to really start looking at this, folks, and realize that laws that are put in place, if they're going to be put in place at all, then they need to be put in place in order to serve mankind, not to make sure the economic system is operating properly, because the economic system is what is destroying mankind and destroying our habitat and destroying any hope we have of a stable environment or a stable future. So we really need to start putting humanity first and realizing that any laws that are put in place which affect humanity's ability to be all that we can be are corrupt. These laws are no law and they are entitled to no obedience because they've been put in place not to empower or inspire mankind, but to limit and curtail and control mankind. And this has been done by people we employ to do exactly the opposite of that, and this is simply not acceptable. So we have to call it, folks, because it's not going to change until we do. And we have every opportunity to do so now. So let's see a little bit of unity, and let's see a little bit of inspiration in people, and let's see people maybe going to their local meetings, their local town hall meetings, whatever the meetings are, PTA, it doesn't matter, whatever group you belong to, go there and start inspiring people and start helping people want to be a voice for change, because once they see you doing it, there are many people that are going to want to follow suit. And we have to get involved, folks. We have to get involved on the ground in our local communities, because that's where change is really going to be effective. You know, that's where we're going to make a difference. And there are so many things, folks. There really are so many things that we can use to start questioning this system. You know, the American Epilepsy Society has just announced that cannabis extract completely obliterates epileptic seizures in children. This is something I've been telling you on the show for a couple of years, folks, that I've seen an autistic child show an 80% increase in motor skills from using cannabis oil. Now it's been confirmed by the American Epileptic Society, the American Epilepsy Society. So why don't you ask your politicians when they intend to roll back and repeal the legislation dealing with cannabis, dealing with the outlawing of cannabis. And if they say, oh, we're going to investigate it, say that isn't what we asked you. What we asked you is when you intend to repeal the legislation, because obviously it's all based on lies. And if you do not intend to repeal the legislation, then can you please show cause, or you shouldn't be held in abuse of office for supporting the human rights abuse, which is the outlawing of the medicinal substance known as cannabis sativa, or cannabis indica, indeed any form of cannabis. Why are you supporting the human rights abuse, which is the outlawing of this plant, and can you please show cause why you shouldn't be held in abuse of office for doing so? Because we're not asking you to investigate it, or asking when you're going to repeal the legislation. It's the same with vaccines, folks. There's people being thrown in jail in California now for refusing vaccinations. You need to ask the government, now that it has been confirmed that vaccines cause autism, there's been a myriad of studies confirming this, when do you intend to repeal this ridiculous legislation? And we're not asking you for an investigation, we're not asking your permission, we're asking when you intend to repeal the legislation, and if you do not intend to repeal it, can you please show cause why you should not be held in abuse of office for perpetuating the human rights abuse, which is mandatory vaccinations, which very often lead to autism. It's time we stood our ground and simply asked these questions and called these people out and stopped taking a backward step to these people and believing that we have to allow them to kill us simply because they wrote down on pieces of paper that it's okay for them to do so, and they've got thugs in black Kevlar that they use to enforce this type of corruption, and who also threaten to lock us up in cages if we refuse to comply. It's about time we called all this out and stood up and made a stand, ladies and gentlemen. And believe me, there is every opportunity for you to do so. There are so many issues that we're dealing with now, and every single one of them is an opportunity for change if you choose to embrace the opportunity that it provides. You know, and it really is important that people stand up and start to get involved. Interesting time of the year now too, isn't it, folks? The 15th anniversary of the September 11 attacks, of course, last week. That, of course, was an event that turned the world into what it is now. It was pretty well heading in that direction before the 9/11 attacks, of course, but that most definitely consolidated the system and consolidated the push for global domination. 9/11, the big lie, the big event that caused us to become as paranoid as we did and brought about this incredibly fake war on terror and the death of so many millions of people since that event started. You know, there are people out there actually saying now that 9/11 is old news, that don't worry about it anymore, it's not something that we need to focus on. Folks, 9/11 is the event that caused the world to become what it is today. 9/11 is the event that has all of these criminal governments doing what they're doing. It is the event that brought about this entire fake war on terror and that perpetuates it. It is still the most pivotal event of this millennia so far, And it is an event that needs to be investigated and needs to be exposed for what it is, because exposing that event for what it is, if it can be done in the right way, will serve to awaken a lot of people. The problem is that everybody gets stuck in little details and down rabbit holes. Everyone gets caught in arguments of how it was done. Was it done with thermite? Was it done with weapons from satellites? Was it done from controlled demolition? Was it done from whatever? There's so many people with so many different views and different arguments. And folks, it doesn't actually matter how it was done at this stage. What matters is who did it and who didn't do it and why it was done. Once we establish that and get people to look at it from that perspective, then we can reopen some type of investigation and then we can find out how it was done. But arguing about how it was done now is simply a detail which does not serve to lead anywhere. It simply serves to create infighting and does not lead to any solutions. So there's no good getting caught down these rabbit holes either, folks. We really need to broaden our perspective when we look at a lot of this stuff. We get too caught up in the details of so many events that we see around the world rather than simply putting them on a global stage and looking at them like a chess move. We can figure out how it was done later, but we've got to figure out what the move is, how it's being played, and where it's leading to. And that's really what we should be focusing on. You know, it's the quagmire of details that continues to bog us down when we really should be looking at things a little bit more holistically. Well, I think that would be a little bit more constructive anyway. I think it would lead to a greater response to the system if we were prepared to put down our individual ideas about different details and simply agree on the major points and push it forward from there. I think we'd find it was a little bit more productive. But again, folks, it's because of this conspiratorial mindset that's been injected into people. People are programmed to react this way. People are programmed to condemn anybody who doesn't agree with every point they make and believe that everybody who doesn't agree with every point they make must be a government agent. And they're trained to view everything as a conspiracy. And that's very, very unfortunate because there's a far more intelligent way of looking at things. What if the real conspiracy is that everything is a conspiracy? You know, to believe that. What if that's the real conspiracy? As I said in my first film, The Big Picture, back in 2008, the best way to hide a real conspiracy is to construct a conspiratorial culture around it, a conspiracy culture whereby everything becomes a conspiracy and so people really don't know which way to look. And that's the best way to hide it. That's the best way to hide the real conspiracy. And that is exactly what's been done. And of course, to associate real conspiracies, real things, real factual things, like things that we know were faked, like the Kennedy assassination, to associate them with things such as aliens and all sorts of stuff like that, so it discredits all of the real information and lumps everything into the same basket. And it's been very, very cleverly done, folks, but that is what's been done. And unfortunately, it's had a pretty large effect on the way a lot of young people who are coming into this movement tend to think about things. They simply don't look at things objectively, and they tend to view everything as a conspiracy. And here's me, a conspiracy theorist, actually saying, oh, well, the conspiracy theorists are going to go wild when they get hold of this, because it's really got to that point, folks, where there are conspiracy researchers and there are conspiracy theorists who believe everything is a conspiracy. But real conspiracies, folks, they're not theories at all. They're actually fact. 9/11 is not a conspiracy theory, it's a conspiracy fact, as is the Kennedy assassination, as were a lot of other very major events in history. The word theory that has been attached to the word conspiracy is another very clever play by the system. People have been taught to identify the word theory with the word conspiracy, and really it's a play, folks, because not all conspiracies are theories. Many of them are fact, but again, there are many conspiracy theorists out there who just label anything a conspiracy simply because it suits them to do so, simply because they've been programmed to do so, and that's just the way their mind works now, unfortunately, and it doesn't really allow for much objective thinking with many of these people. And that is a shame, but I think a lot of people are waking up to that as well. I mean, the discerning people out there that are looking at all this stuff still know when something is true and when something isn't. I think it just resonates inside them. And they know when they're being played. Well, very often they do anyway. I do like to still hold at least that much faith for humanity, folks. Although sometimes I must admit that I do very much wonder whether I am foolhardy to hold any faith in this species at all. But I guess I'm just a big softy and I just can't help it. So I continue to do so. No matter how much my mind tells me I should give up, my heart tells me that I simply can't. So I guess we just go forward and see what happens. Every day is a learning experience, ladies and gentlemen, and it certainly has been that way this year. It's been a hell of a year this year, folks. It really has. There's been so much come out this year. There's been so much been exposed this year. There's been so much come to light. There's been so many people that have been forced to change their perspective, including myself, and it really has been a very, very intense and most revealing year, and it certainly isn't over yet, so I wonder what's just around the corner. You know, they always say that about the only thing that remains constant through life is change. And that's an interesting way of looking at things, but it is true, folks. We change all the time. We change our perspective. We change our point of view. We change what we believe to be important. We change who we are. It happens all the way through life. Well, it does to me anyway. I'm sure it does to many other people. And if you're not changing through life, then I would suggest that you're not growing, because that's what life is about. It's about change, and that is really the only thing that can be guaranteed. So what is next around the corner? Well, that's anybody's guess. But one thing is for certain. We are at a very, very pivotal time in history, ladies and gentlemen. We're at a time where people have to really begin to see the power that they have and realize that it's up to them to make the changes they want to see in their life. And it's all a fractal, folks. What works on the micro level also works on the macro level. And it's up to you to not only make a difference in your life, but to also make a difference in the world. But the way to do that is to make a difference in your life. Because once you do that inner work and you change your perspective and you change the way you interact with people, then those changes ripple out. And that's when we begin to see a real change in the world. But I think we've reached break time, ladies and gentlemen, so I'll leave it there for now and we'll go and have a break. Thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company, and I'll speak to you again in a few minutes. Thanks for listening. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, so there are a myriad of ways that we can stir up a little bit of trouble for the system. There are a myriad of ways that we can use to wake people up. I really do believe that using the legal system against itself without any real objective of achieving remedy from within the legal system, but merely with the idea of exposing the legal system for the fraud that it is, then you might find that you actually get somewhere with people. I mean, sure, there's a lot of people out there that are awake to what's going on, but there's a lot of people that aren't. There's a lot of people that are still completely asleep, and the only way to really get to these people is to speak to them in a language that they understand. This is something that I've been using for years, and it's actually been working, folks. And look, I don't even believe in the legal system. I think it's all fiction. It's all rubbish. It's just a paper-based reality. But the sleeping masses out there, they think it's real. So when you start talking to them in that language, they listen to you a little bit because they can understand it a little bit because you're speaking in a language that they can comprehend. Now, once people realize that the system isn't being applied evenly, that the legal system isn't being applied evenly, and there is no remedy for the people within the legal system, then you might find that people want to make a difference because you might find that people understand exactly how they're being played. And at that point, you might find that people actually want to stop complying with this system. And it's just in little ways. Like I say, stop using credit cards to shop with. Stop going down the corridors that they keep steering you down. When they ask you to fill in a census form, say no. You know, it's just these little things, folks. There's little things that we can do in little ways that will make a difference, but we've got to be prepared to get involved. I've mentioned before, folks, I'm attempting to organize a global strike on April 15th, 2017, a day where we all simply down tools, refuse to comply with the system, refuse to spend money, and turn and call this mess out for what it is. Of course, the real concern at the moment is whether we last as long as April 15, as the warmongers that are running this earth are very much attempting to push us into conflict. And folks, I've been coming on the air, as I said, for 9 years now and attempting every way I can to empower people. But people have got to get involved themselves on the ground where they live. People have got to start sharing information and spreading information and standing up against this system. And like I said, stepping into their power, realizing that they're just dealing with people here. All the ones who control this mess are just people who are all guilty of crimes under their own law, and there's no reason we should be complying with anything they want us to do. And it's time for us to stand up and call this, folks, because it's heading for a very bad place. Even now in Australia, they're attempting to push microchips on the people. The media is promoting it, of course, as the media always does. They're saying many Australians are choosing to be superhumans who can now open doors with the wave of a hand. You know, what a load of rubbish, folks. They're trying to make it trendy to have a microchip put in both of your hands, one for your bank account details and all your finances, and one to open your car and open your house and all that sort of other digital stuff that they want digital keys for. And then, of course, folks, once people get these microchips, then if you ever step out of line in any way at all the government has to do is turn off your chip, and suddenly you can't access your house, your car, your keys, your phone, your bank accounts, or anything. And apart from that being a real and present danger with microchipping, there's also the very real danger of the fact that you are putting all of your wealth into a virtual world where it all exists as numbers on a screen and digital credits and can also be switched off. And look, I know a lot of people go down that path already and say, well, it's too late for that. That's already the way we are, but it's not true. It's only that way because you constantly shop with credit cards and with plastic money. I personally don't do that. If I ever need any money, I go and draw it out of the bank, or I go and dig up some silver and cash it in, and then I use cash for my transactions. If you're shopping with plastic and you're using credit cards and digital money for your transactions, then you're already three-quarters of the way enslaved, ladies and gentlemen. Next time you go shopping with a credit card, just have a look at what you buy, make a note of what you buy. Next time you do some Google searches, make a note of what you search for, and then next time you log on to Facebook, check out what the ads are that you receive on the sidebar on Facebook and other sites that you go to that send advertising towards you. Just have a look at what it is and compare it to the shopping list that you just created when you went shopping with your credit card at the local supermarket, and you're going to start seeing how they link all this stuff up together, folks. You should all start drawing money out of the bank and shopping with cash, because just by doing so, you're going to be sending a message to the government and sending a message to the supermarkets that you will not put up with this digital control grid that they are rolling out. And that's where the stand has to be made, folks. It's got to be made by people on the ground not complying with this ridiculous control grid and this ridiculous digital system that is being superimposed over our reality. Because once it's all rolled out, folks, it's going to be very, very difficult to extricate yourself from it, and everybody is going to be extremely easy to control. And at that point, all the government has to do is make the rules tighter and tighter and tighter, and at that point, there will be nothing anybody can do about it, because all their means of escape, i.e. all their money, all their access to their accounts or keys or home or anything, will all exist in the virtual world, and access to that world can be switched off at any time and for whatever reason the government deems appropriate. And they've been pushing us this way for a long time, folks. When I was in Holland earlier in the year, I went to a supermarket and just to buy some fruit and vegetables. And when I went to pay for what I was buying, the lady at the counter told me they would not accept cash, they would only accept cards. When I then told her that I simply didn't have a card and pulled out cash, she refused to take it. So I asked her if she was refusing to accept payment for goods, at which point she gave me the groceries for free and let me leave the shop. So that was a nice touch, but the point is that they are very much pushing us towards digital currency. And folks, there wouldn't be anything wrong with digital currency if we lived in an honest society. But when you live in a country such as Australia, and you have a government such as the Malcolm Turnbull regime, who is torturing children on Nauru, promoting and continuing some extraordinarily racist policies towards Australian Aboriginals, and essentially just continuing the Australian government's ethnic cleansing program against these people. A government who is wholeheartedly supporting the fake war on terror, even going so far as to send planes to Syria to bomb kids over there, and is wholeheartedly supporting any war posturing against Iran. A government who is destroying the groundwater with coal seam gas mining, allowing all sorts of fascist legislation to be introduced and supporting the war crimes of Israel, when you've got a man who's an ex-investment banker and is Goldman Sachs all the way who's asking you to be microchipped, I suggest that you should think very carefully before doing so, because it's like handing the reins of your life to the worst mafia lord on the block. I mean, seriously, ladies and gentlemen, just look at these people and look at who controls them. Look at the emails that just came out about George Soros, how it's been shown that George Soros has been basically funding all of Hillary's campaign, funding all sorts of arms dealing and weapons trades. You know, it's absolutely despicable what these people have done to this earth and what they are continuing to do to this earth. And these are the people that are asking you to be microchipped. I mean, it's absolutely absurd that anybody would even be considering complying with any wishes that this government rolls out, because they are provable criminals just by their own actions. I mean, honestly, folks, just look at the state of the world, and most especially in Australia. Look at the state of the country. Look what the Malcolm Turnbull regime has done. And folks, you can't even really hate these people for what they do, because they're sick. They're sick. They have diseased minds. They just cannot view the human race from the correct perspective. They can't view it from a normal perspective, from a human perspective. All of these leaders, folks, they're all completely crazy. You look at Theresa May. Just look at a photograph of this woman. You can't say that she is evil. She's simply sick. I mean, just look at her. She's a psychopath. She has a diseased mind. I mean, really, you've got to be sorry for these poor little cretins, folks. You really do. These poor, miserable little psychopaths that have maneuvered themselves into positions of power around this world. You've got to feel sorry for the lack of humanity that these people display. I mean, just think, these people will never feel the empathy that you feel. They'll never feel the real love of a child that you feel. They'll never see the real beauty in a flower, the real beauty in life, the real beauty of this earth. They'll never experience things from a holistic perspective or an empowered or beautiful perspective. All they can see is blood and death and control and wealth and power. This is what they crave. This is what they are. And this is what makes me feel so sorry for these people. So, you know, you really can't hate them. I mean, I get frustrated at their actions and I get very angry at their actions and I speak out against them all the time, but I do it out of a love for humanity. I don't do it out of a hatred towards them. I really truly do feel sorry for them more than anything else. I mean, imagine what it would be like to go through life in that way, folks. It would be really a dreadful existence. You know, it's that fact that makes things so weird when trying to deal with this, folks, because so many people look at the controllers, the ruling parasites, and they believe that they can heal the situation with love. And sure, you can heal the situation with love, but it's got to be with the correct application of love. You can't do it by loving the psychopaths and thinking you can love them into becoming nice people. They don't understand that the people at the top, they don't feel that way. They don't feel the way you do. You know, it's like we're dealing with two different species here, folks. Psychopaths do not feel empathy. And when you attempt to use those sort of methodologies and attempt to use things that work with normal human beings against a psychopath, it simply doesn't work because they just don't feel those things. And again, a lot of people will use hatred, you know, they hate these people. And really, I don't think that they get up and consciously say, well, I want to be really evil today. I think they just do what they do because it's what they do. And they don't view humanity as anything else except collateral damage. It's like an ant farm to them. They don't really view the rest of humanity as anything significant. And it isn't that they consciously mean to hurt them. They just do what they mean to do because this is the way it balances the books. So it just works for them. And that's why it's difficult to direct hatred towards them as well. This is why I always said that the best tool that you've got and your greatest strength is the love that you feel for yourself and for other people. Use that to inspire you to stand up against this system. Use the love of life and the love of those around you, not hatred towards the perpetrators, because it's a completely different energy and it's a disempowering energy. When you use hatred as your strength, then it's a very, very disempowering energy. It's like going to the dark side, if you want to look at it that way. Whereas the source of real strength is using love as your source of power, because love will fight off any enemy a lot more effectively than hatred. And that's why it's so important to do the inner work when attempting to deal with any of these issues, folks. You've really got to get yourself in the right emotional state to be able to deal with it. But all the inner work really is about discovering your own personal power so you can step into that, folks. Really, that's all it is. And I get a lot of comments from people, what is this rhetoric of stepping into your power? What does it mean? What it means, folks, is understanding that you are a human being and you are just dealing with other human beings and that nobody has a right of authority over you. Nobody has a right to rule you. Nobody has a right to treat you as a slave, and you do not have to bow to the whim of other people. The only reason that you do is because of the fear-based mind control that's been inflicted upon you and the fear-based mind control that this society perpetuates. Because it is. It's all fear-based mind control. You only do what you're told because you're scared police officers will beat you up if you don't. And that's really what it's about. It's the same as we pay taxes so they can go and bomb other people in other countries because we're afraid they'll come and hurt us if we don't do it. So really, it's just protection money, folks. That's all we're doing. And until we recognize that and stand up and call that, it's going to continue. The question is, how much are you prepared to take? How much are you prepared to have your life controlled by other people? And when they keep turning up the screws and keep building the fences a little higher and keep making the lines a little narrower that you have to walk between, how much are you prepared to take? When you're going to stop and say, well, hang on a minute, you actually don't have the right to control me because there is no such thing as a legitimate master and there is no such thing as a legitimate slave. That's just the way it is. What we have here are people. And that's what discovering your personal power and standing in it is, folks. It's remembering that you are a human being, a person with value, the same as everybody else. Nobody has a right of ownership over you or anybody else, but they're going to continue to exercise that right of ownership that they believe they have as long as you allow them to do so. The question is, how long are you going to allow this to happen, and how far are you prepared to let them go? Because it's getting to the point, folks, where we won't have a habitat anymore. We won't have a world to live in if we do not rein these out-of-control governments back into some semblance of order. You know, the earth is being strip mined, folks. We are having all the resources ripped out of this planet, and we are the ones who are doing it because we continue to support this economic system because we believe that's what it's all about. But it's not, folks. It's about life. It's about people. It's about reaching our creative potential. It's about living cooperatively, not competitively. And it's about realizing why we live so competitively. We only do that because we're trained to do that, folks, because we're kept in a state of perpetual scarcity due to being enslaved to a privately run economic system which is designed to do exactly what it's doing, i.e. destroy this earth and discard humanity in the process. And is that a radical way of looking at things, folks? Well, it's not really, because all I'm doing is stepping back and looking at the economic system and its result so far. What has the economic system achieved for this earth? Well, what it's achieved is environmental destruction and human death. That's what it's achieved. Though, of course, it hasn't just been human death. It's also achieved the extinction of a great many other species as well. So it's really done a lot of damage, folks. The economic model has not served humankind in any way, shape, or form. All it does is perpetuate a system of competitiveness, which is what is being used to destroy this earth and discard the population in the process. And this is the system that the governments are running, folks. And all governments really do is appease the people while the world is destroyed around them. That's all they do. They provide a control mechanism to just keep the people in check and to appease them and to assure them that everything is going to be okay, when it's exactly the opposite, folks. The world is anything but okay, and our societies have done anything but improve in the last 20 years. They've just gotten worse and worse, more totalitarian, more controlled. It's become harder and harder for the average people to survive. The screws have been turned up, the cost of living has gone up and everything is designed to just make it a little bit harder, a little bit more every day so that people don't notice how quick the water is beginning to boil. And it's a concern, folks. It really is. It's a concern that people just refuse to see the direction the world is being pulled. People in Western societies are so caught up in their social issues and their mobile phones and having the latest pair of exploding shoes and the right hairstyle or the latest fashion accessories, and they don't really pay attention to what's going on around them. They don't really look at the world holistically, and they don't see the direction that they're being pulled in. But the world is being pulled in a very, very dangerous direction, ladies and gentlemen. And the really weird part about it is that it's us that's doing it, ladies and gentlemen. It's we that are allowing it to happen. We are the ones who support the system. You know, if you're supporting these industries that are destroying the world, if you're in the military, just quit. Just quit what you're doing. Go and do something else. There's got to be something else you can do. You know, if you were to connect with your neighbors and you're all to work together, you could put it in a big community garden to feed the entire village or town or suburb or block anyway, and you would thereby remove half of your expenses. And if the government tells you you can't do it, well, screw the government. The government has no right to tell you you can't grow food. If they just come along and say it's the law, then just say why. Why is it the law? If there's someone that we employ to manage things for us who's putting in legislation telling us that we can't grow our own food, then why is this law and why are you supporting it? You know, you've just got to ask these questions, folks. That's the thing. I mean, people say, oh, asking questions isn't going to help anything. But if the whole society starts doing it, if the whole society starts asking these questions, just that simple question, folks, why? Why do I have to comply with what you're saying when what you're saying affects my ability to be all that I can be? It affects my ability to be human. It affects my God-given right to fresh water and fresh air and to be able to grow and eat fresh food. How can you claim to even have any authority to be able to interfere with that? Who the hell do you people think you are? Just ask that question, folks. It can make all the difference, because when you ask that question, you do it in the right way, you do it eloquently enough, and you do it in front of enough people, then you're going to find that a lot of other people begin asking that question as well. And we've got to make a stand, folks. We've got to stand up for ourselves. If we don't, then we simply deserve what we get. And that's the thing with this species, you know, you can only help it so far, but if people will not help themselves, then how far are you prepared to help them? I mean, how much work can you do? How much work can I do if people are not prepared to help themselves? You know, all the people out here in the independent media who do what they can to bring information to people and to wake people up and to empower people, we can only do so much, folks. But if people aren't willing to apply the information to their own lives and put it into action, practical application on the ground where they live, then what can we do? We can't really do anything. You know, there's no one that can lead the human race to safety except the human race itself as a collective. But people have to be prepared to do that. They have to be prepared to act, and they have to be prepared to stand up and ask the questions and deal with it in their local community on the ground where they live, because that's where they will make a difference. You know, this is our world, ladies and gentlemen. This is our home. This is our environment. This is our habitat. And this has the potential to be such an incredible, wonderful place. You know, the human race has so much potential. We have the ability to do amazing things, but all we do is fight with each other and argue with each other over details that don't really mean anything. We very often just live our lives performing the most ridiculous, meaningless of activities, going to buildings and shifting paper around or shifting digital information around. None of it means anything. And we work to design ways to more effectively control and kill other people. And what are we doing? What are we doing as a species? How does anything this society does, or how does anything this society makes us do, how does any of it mean anything, ladies and gentlemen? It really doesn't. You know, we've got to wake up to ourselves and see what we're doing. Step back and really look at this and realize that all of the problems that we face, they all come from government writing legislation, but we go along with it. We just do this stuff when they tell us we have to do it because we believe because it's written on paper, then it's become a rule. It's become a reality. It's become something that we must use to govern our lives or control our actions by, even if those actions are immoral, even if those actions are destroying our environment and destroying life and putting people in a state of hardship, we still believe we must do it because it's written on paper. It's absurd. And we need to wake up to ourselves, folks, because if we don't, then where are we going? What future will we ever have if we don't choose to make a stand while we still have the ability to do so? You know, a lot of people who listen to this show say, oh, Max is just negative. He's bringing all this negative information in this monotone voice of his. Well, okay, my voice is my voice, and the information that I'm bringing you is information you need to have, folks. I mean, I could come onto these shows and I could put on a bright, happy voice and I could bring you all the information that you wanted to hear. I could turn myself into a peace, love and truth guru if I wanted to, and I could tell you exactly what you want to hear, and I could have everybody praising me and telling me what a great, wonderful, positive person I am. But really, I'd just be lying to you folks, because we're in deep strife and there is a positive future right there, right within our grasp, but we have to reach out and grab it. You know, and this information that I bring you isn't negative. It's just the way it is. It's just realism. And, you know, you can't ever hope to fix a problem until you become aware of the problem. And as soon as you become aware of the problem, it provides you the opportunity you need to heal that situation. But if people aren't prepared to look at the problems that need healing, then that healing will never arrive. It will never come. And people can live their life with blinkers on, thinking that it's all rainbows and we're heading for this bright green future. But it's only going to happen. We're only going to have that future when they choose to participate and make that future happen. They could do it very, very quickly if they simply chose to step into their power, turn and ask the right questions and call things for what they are and simply say, we're going in another direction now. We've decided that we're not going to fight your wars. We're not going to participate in your corporate rape of this earth. We're not going to allow ourselves to be enslaved by this economic system anymore. We're going to cooperate with each other. We're going to help each other. We're going to build a vibrant society regardless of the rules that the politicians put in place, because there's billions of us and there's only a few thousand of you, and we don't care what you say. What we're going to do from this point is the right thing, and all you've done is the wrong thing. Exhibit A, the earth. And we're just not going to do it anymore. So we're going to ask these questions, and you're going to have to explain yourself, because if you don't, well, we'll go and just put you somewhere else. I've always believed, folks, that there's a good spot for all these politicians on Christmas Island in that refugee camp that the Australian government has set up. I think that would be a wonderful spot to put all of the Western politicians, all of the criminals who've supported the state of Israel, all the people who have bombed Syria, all the people who have supported this economic system. These people should all go somewhere and live their lives in a place where they simply cannot hurt humanity anymore. I think the refugee camp on Christmas Island would be a wonderful spot for them. I think the refugees on Christmas Island would probably do a lot better job of running the world than any of these politicians anyway. Perhaps we should give the job to them, folks. In fact, I think any garden variety pickpocket would do a better job of running the world than any of these politicians that we currently see in positions of control. All of these people, folks, are all criminals. Look what they've done to this beautiful world that we live in. Look how many people they've killed in their fake war on terror. Around about 4 million Muslims so far have been killed in response to a crime that they didn't commit, a crime carried out on September 11th, 15 years ago, when Israel and the United States bombed their own World Trade Center and blamed the Arab world for it in order to start their genocide of the Arab people. This is a very, very disgusting thing, folks, but that is what's going on, and that is the world that we live in today, and that is the reason for the police state and this war and death and degradation and corporate destruction. It all is being run by the very same people, folks, and the only ones who can fix it are the people of the world, once they choose to call it for what it is and ask the right questions to the right people. But I think we've reached the end of the show here, folks. Thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company. Thank you to anybody who has ever made a contribution to the website. Thank you to all those people who are supporting the Patreon account. Thank you to all those people who have sent me supportive emails in this rather difficult time that we have all been going through in the last few weeks as well. I'll look forward to speaking to you when I next come on the air, folks. I'm not sure when that will be, but it will be as soon as I'm able. Please take very good care until then. In Lakesh, my friends. In Lakesh.